Blog Talk Radio.
You know what? It's 11:35 on the East Coast on a Monday morning, and you're live with Sound Off Forms. And I'm your host, George Beverly Jr. I hope you have a blessed weekend. It was great for myself. I hope those, I'd like to give my condolences to my friends out there who have lost loved ones. Even though I did not know them personally, I know how it feels to lose people. I'd love to give my love and condolence to my great friend Della Houston, who lives in Houston. She lost her friend Teresa, and I'd just like to lift up a prayer for her in her time of need, and everyone who was connected to that beautiful young lady. I try not to get on and and interact these days because of, you know, how I feel right now. But I'm just wanted to put that specifically out there. I just want everybody to know that God is in control. Okay, no matter what situations that may be going on right now, or how you feel right now, God's in control. God's in control. So everything happens for a reason, and it may be bad. It may be horrible. It may be tragic. And you say, well, how can God let that happen? You have to understand somebody is getting something out of this. And that's how the nature of the Spirit goes. It flows. It flows the way it flows. We can't explain it because it's a spiritual thing. We try to put our hands on it and try to do it, but we can't. We can't figure it out because it's not meant for us to figure it out. God will reveal it in your time and your season. And if you're trying to step in front of God, it's going to fall. It's not going to be there. So just stay encouraged. Know that I'm here for you in your prayers. If I don't speak with you every day, does not mean that I do not think about you. Here in my thoughts, here in my prayers. There's so many people that right now who need love and affection, who needs that love and those prayers. And I just want to let them know that I'm here for you. Anytime that you need me, do not hesitate to text me or call me. If I don't get back with you as soon as possible, no, I'm going through some stuff right now, and I need to get my mind and my spirit straight before I can go and wrestle whatever you need me to wrestle with. And I'm just wanting you guys to know that, like I said, God's in control. You don't have to worry about anything because the wind blows for no reason. The wind blows left and right and goes wherever it wants. You can't see it, but it's there. Birds chirp, birds eat. Do they worry about the food they're going to eat? Nope. They just go find something to eat. Why? Because God's provided for them. You think the grass worries about where it's... And you're saying, well, George, these are animals. These are plants. My point exactly. If they're not worrying about it, and we're humans, God will provide. And that's scripture. That's Matthew right there. So, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to be encouraged, please. Because there's a lot of things out there in this world that we have, like I said, we have no control over, and we try to make it more than what it is, but, hey, it is what it is. So without further ado, I will start the program. Now, the program that I'm about to play, since I've been here in D.C., Virginia area, what they call it, the DMV area, I've been blessed to go to a Baptist church called Shiloh Baptist Church here in Laurinton, Virginia. And small, nice, small, quaint church, members of about 200. That's small in this area, apparently. But beautiful church, pastor, first lady, beautiful people. People in the church, beautiful. Of course, you only know the church people, you know, church face, but you don't really know them. But, hey, listen, since I've been there, my spirit has been filled daily, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the spirit filled daily. I have my ups and downs, but the spirit of the Lord has renewed my spirit. There's a song by Donnie McKirkland says, renew my spirit. Create me a new heart. And that's what the Lord has done for me. And I just want to thank the Lord for giving me Pastor Bailey in my life. Very educated man. Very, very blessed counselor. Very blessed teacher. The Spirit leads you where you need to go. And I'm just going to give a quick synopsis of what he's talking about. Basically, we're coming out of 2 Kings, 2 Kings 4:40-42. And we're talking about when Elijah went to the lady, and the lady had, the old lady, widow lady, had only had one jar of flour, one drop, a jar left of oil, and she gave that up to Elijah. To Elijah, excuse me, there's Elijah and Elijah. Elijah was called up into the holies of the holies, and his disciple was Elisha, with the S-H-A. The other one was spelled with the J-A. And this Elisha, with the S-H-A, he ate the bread. And then he goes on to talk about the other side of it, where Elijah went and was there, and they wanted to give a tribute, an offering to Elijah and to the Lord, and he said, use this offering and bring it to the men. So we're talking about faith here, ladies and gentlemen. And this faith that you may have or you may not have is very important, because you may have faith in your family members. You may have faith that your job will provide. You may have faith that you're going to put food on the table. You may have faith in your children. But let me tell you, all will fail. And if you think God will fail because he didn't allow it to happen, remember this. He is able to do all things. And if you don't get it at that point in time, does not mean that you won't get it. But he probably has re-avenued it or detoured it into a something that is even marvelous than what you even wanted. And you may get what you want, but you have to understand it is in God's plan and in your season. And if you aren't ready for it, God is not going to give it to you. Because when you get it, you got to be able to handle it. And he knows what you can handle and what you cannot handle. And I'm a living testament to that. So I'll get off of my soapbox here. I just wanted to give you a quick synopsis on it. Beautiful, beautiful. It starts off with the kids' choir. So I hope you enjoy. God bless. And we'll see you tomorrow.
I say this now. We're limited where you got to go. But if you got to go before the word.
me. It's coming from every direction. But God, amen. Misery is my nickname. It lives in my house and in my neighborhood. God, let it rain.
I want you to get this picture in your mind. Some of these boys and girls haven't been in a choir. Some of them haven't been taught how choir protocol is, but that's all right, because they'll learn that.
Yeah.
See, sometimes we have to teach on the job. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So that they can get the experience. The choir stand is filled today. And I'm asking you to fill the Sunday school, the church school, just like you see the choir stand being filled. And that requires you, parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, caregivers, to bring them out.
What time is that?
8:45 it stands right now. But in one of the announcements, I will say this while I'm speaking right now, because some of you are still looking for 2 Kings. It's in the Old Testament, okay? I'll give you a hint. It starts right now at 8:45, but there's a survey that's going to be given out, either through email, icon, or some hard copies. I ask you to fill it out and get it back in as quickly as you can, because we're at a time where we need your involvement. But I'd like for them to be in church school on Sunday morning. Church school. Encourage. Have more faith. Be more obedient. And love God more and one another. And watch what will happen. Amen?
Amen.
All right. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verses 42 through 44. The Bible says, then a man came from Bethlehem. Yeah, please stand, if you will. Then a man came from Baal-Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread, and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, give it to the people that they may eat. But his servant said, what shall I set this before 100 men? He said again, give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over.
Amen. Amen.
So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. You may take your seat.
Thank you, Lord.
in the presence of our Lord. I'm not going to be before you very long, because God spoke this message, and it was one that just knocked me upside the head. And when I read it, I read it, you'll find in the text this morning what we just read. Here is something happening to a young man who is in a ministry that he inherited. And I'm talking about the prophet Elisha, who inherited his ministry from the prophet Elijah. There are two of them. They got similar names. But here now, Elijah is this person that accepts his calling as a prophet in a time of war. Get this picture. He's now been called into ministry service. And is at a time of war, a time of turmoil, and a time of much strife. Anybody got that picture? Mm-hmm. See, God can call us to active duty in a time of turmoil, in a time of war, in a time of much strife, because we are on the battlefield for the Lord.
Amen.
And we're engaged in His service.
Amen.
And so we may want to go to the places where there's no war and there's peace. I know when I was in Vietnam, going to Vietnam, there's a lot of you who know this, that there were people who did not want to go to Vietnam because it was a war.
Amen.
They just wanted to collect their pay in Florida or in California, wherever they could ease out and not go to war. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
God says, on my battlefield, you're always going to be in a war zone. And so here, Israel, at that time, they were at war with Syria. Sounds about like what is kind of going on in the world today. See, the Bible is true. There's nothing new where? Under the sun. What has happened today has already happened. There's nothing new happening. And so, on a daily basis, the children of Israel, they faced hunger, lack of food, and fear. So Elijah, being called up to ministry, was determined and encouraged in his spirit that his job is to get the people to trust God's blessings, because God never fails to bless. And his blessings are more abundant than what we realize. Brothers and sisters, most of the times we don't realize how much more we really have when God is in the picture. You may know what you have, and you may know what's in your bank account, and what's in your cabinet, and what's in your locker, but see, we don't know and value what it is that the Lord has and is abundant.
Amen.
God's blessings are more abundant than what we realize.
Yes, sir.
This man in the scripture, we don't know anything about. His name was not mentioned. We don't know who he was. We don't know anything about him, except this man may have been a farmer who went to worship. The Bible says he brought with him the first fruits. That means the tithe. When you hear in the Bible, it talks about the first, give God the first fruits. I mean, give God the sacrifice, give God the tithe. It was in his stewardship that he offered this to the prophet. Wherever his farm was, wherever his market was, wherever his crops were, he came with the first, I'm going to take this first fruit. And he offered it to the prophet. Now get this, because something else is happening here. Instead of the prophet using it, the prophet, equally in an act of stewardship, instructed the man to be a blessing, to give that to the need.
Amen.
I hope y'all are following me this morning.
Yes, sir.
There is more in our gift than in our keep.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a couple of points. Here's the first thought from this scripture. Number one, sometimes the greater blessing of your stewardship is not for you. Rather, it is for others who may be hurting and suffering more than you.
Amen.
Can I say that again?
Yes.
See, sometimes the greater blessing of my stewardship, of what God has blessed with me abundantly, is not for me.
Amen.
But it's a pass-through for others who may be hurting even more
Amen.
Than me. Sometimes God calls on us to suffer a little, give more, and sacrifice a little deeper so that others needier might have.
Amen.
Most of the time, it amazes me how God can take our little bit, and when we attempt to be a blessing to others, it always counts and comes up more than what
Amen.
We can imagine.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
You know what I'm talking about. Give your last dollar to a person on the street, and you find that what you gave has been multiplied.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't know how many times over the course of time that I have been broke some, well, I don't want to say sometime, many times,
sure.
often, frequently, more than 10 or 20. Put some clothes into the laundry. I'm going to keep using this laundry that I'm using. Because I put some clothes in the laundry and I was busted. Needed a couple of dollars and didn't have it. Hand in pocket, couldn't find even a quarter around. No, y'all never searched for a quarter. Picked up the clothes from the laundry. I'm going to keep using this laundry. When I open up, put the pants on, put my hand in the pocket, and $3 was there. I'm going to keep using this line. Now, y'all think that line didn't do much cleaning. They did a good job. Because my $3 that I was looking for, kid, was still in my pocket. And somebody else will come back and say, I had a handkerchief in there. They didn't take the handkerchief. That laundry ain't over, so I'll keep using this laundry. Because it paid off. But you understand, you give your last and think that's it, but God has a way.
Yes, sir. God has a way.
Of providing.
Yeah.
When we're on the giving end, God multiplies what we have. Mm-hmm. Let me say that one more time.
Yes.
When I'm on the giving end, God multiplies what was given back to me.
That's true.
And he's given it to me, baby. See, the Bible makes this point. How many of you remember the woman who was so poor that she only had enough flour and oil left over to make herself and her son a little small loaf of bread? It was her last meal, and she knew that after she and her son ate that little loaf of bread, that both of them would die. Now that's not just a little funny story or a little unnotable story in the Bible. That's a story that was placed there for us to see that here this woman was in some dire straits, in some really bad condition, that all she had left may have started out with a lot, but all she had left was a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil and just enough to make a little loaf of bread for her and her son to eat, and knowing that there was no more food coming in, there was nobody there to help her, there was nobody she could count on, it was all just her and her son, and she knew, baby, mama's got some bad news to tell you, that when we eat this meal, we're going to say a prayer because, baby, we ain't got nothing else. We don't have any more food. And if we're going to die. And then the man of God shows up.
Amen.
Well, you can clap right now. You can man of God showed up. But the man of God showed up and said, what's that there I smell in the hook? It ain't chicken, so it must be bread. So give me that little loaf of bread.
Yes, sir.
I go back now. See, see, we, and then 5 weeks ago, oh, yeah, they ain't going to do that. That's my last.
That's it.
I ain't got no more.
That's right.
I already know if I give that to you, I ain't ate nothing.
That's right.
If I eat it and keep it, well, we're still going to die.
That's right.
So I got to deliver here. Give it, eat it, keep it, give it, eat it, keep it. I'm going to, y'all understand what you want? See, we just read through that all that, and we won't let it sink in.
That's right.
This woman says, look here, what did you just say, sir? give it to you? I get a reaction from this crowd. He said, yes, give it to me. And this woman had to give, keep, give, keep, give, keep, give, keep. Sunday comes, give this to church, keep, give this to church, keep, give, keep. Give, keep. But she was asking for more faith. She wanted to be obedient and to love God more. And to love one another more. So she gave it to the man. Now I can imagine what he says. You got any butter? I mean, she got any butter. She got just a little loaf of bread. Didn't have no milk to wash it down. We just went ahead and ate bread. But the Bible says that every time she went to the cupboard. Every time she opened the cupboard door. Every time she looked at the flour there. Every time she looked for the oil. There was more than enough. There was an abundance. And it just kept on going. It just kept on going. And don't you know, there was so much oil and so much grain there that the lady was able to sell that. And that was money in the pocket. Because God not only fed her in her physical body, but God was able to take that little bit and to make much out of it that she was able to collect. She was able to go down to the marketplace and say, I got some oil for sale. Anybody want to buy some? And money. Y'all don't understand what I'm
talking
about.
Yes, sir. Come on in
and
up. Hallelujah.
Don't understand that.
Hallelujah.
She obeyed God
mm-hmm.
and found that she had more than enough.
Amen.
How about the story of the little boy with his fish tank?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Y'all heard about that.
Amen.
This little boy, he made the sacrifice. Took his little bit and put it in the hands of Jesus, and it multiplied to be more than enough to feed a multitude with some leftovers. They said there was just 5,000 men, but they didn't count the women and the children. I heard it could be up to 25,000 or so if you counted the women and the children in that multitude.
Hallelujah.
He said, take this, Lord. I give this little bit. And look at what God did. He multiplied it. That reminds me. Some of you now, Rhett, you know, you grew up in Illinois. And I know that there are a lot of places in Illinois that you can go to and find grandmothers and mothers who know how to take one chicken and make 16 pieces of it. Y'all can hear this. Y'all go to McDonald's, y'all go to KFC and say, give me a whole chicken. I got two pieces. Got two legs, two thighs, two wings, and two breasts. That's all y'all know about chicken. But grandma could pick that chicken and make 16 pieces out of that chicken. Little became much in the hands of grandma. What about God? That little that we have, God can make much of. Sometimes our stewardship serves to be a blessing to others who are in need. Let's go back to the scripture again. Look at this man in the scripture. This man, the Bible says, is skeptical. He does not believe what he is called upon to offer is sufficient to feed 100 men. All he has is 20 loaves of barley and a few fresh ears of grain in his sack. The Message Bible has amplified that somewhat. It says 20 loaves of fresh baked bread from the early harvest, along with a few apples from the harvest. It is as to say he was embarrassed to offer so little of a thing. Elijah says, no, give it away. He insists, give it away. And in doing so, this man learns the lesson of God's abundance in a time of scarcity. Sometimes the test is not in the keeping, but in the giving. Even during the time that my covers look bad. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Man,
this man learned his lesson. Let's go to point number two. Never underestimate God's abundance. We're living, they say, in a frail and weak economy. For a whole lot of people, there are tight and tough times. Government furloughs, unemployment, layoffs, you name it. As bad as things might get, the church and the people of the church are called upon to witness and testify that we must never underestimate God's abundance. See, on the job, when you call someone who's not working and you're not working, you say, well, you know, yeah, I'm furloughed too, and you may be talking to an unbeliever who says, boy, times are really tough. Yeah, they are. Can't deny that. But you must say, hey, I do know that God is able.
Yes, sir.
See, I got faith, and I'm believing that God is going to do what God says he's going to do. And I'm going to trust in God because I serve a true God.
Yes, sir.
So the church and the people of the church, even in the times of strife, even in the times of things when it's not going right, when we know that people and I, all of us are hurt, is to stand fast on the word of God.
Yes,
never underestimate God's abundance.
True.
For those of us in need, for those under pressure, for those who are experiencing crisis of any kind, the same claim that was made by this testament that we just read in the Old Testament is still true for us today. We should never underestimate God's abundance. God will provide. God will help. God will make the possible out of the impossible. God will never fail you. He's able to deliver you. He's able to sustain you. He's able to keep his word and never go back. You don't have to worry about it. Don't worry about what I'm going to eat for tomorrow. I said it at Bible study, and I'll say it again. If I am hungry, if I don't have any food in my house, I have food, because if there's food in your house, and food in your house, and food in your house, I have some food, because we're to share. That's our love,
yes, sir.
Our care,
yes.
Our concern,
yes.
With one another. You may not have much, but with God and a little bit you might have, it's more than enough.
Amen.
Sometimes you got to stop trying to figure out how God is going to bless you. You just have to step back and say, God, do your thing in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know how the Lord is going to work. I don't know how he's going to figure it out. I tried. I woke up 2 o'clock in the morning trying to figure it out, and I can't figure it out. And I'm trying to wonder how God's going to work this thing out. It ain't my job to worry about how God is going to fix it.
Amen.
Do I believe he's going to fix it?
Oh,
yeah, I do. Then don't worry about it.
Yes, sir.
Right. If I can't fix it, don't worry about it. If I can fix it, fix it. But if I put it in God's
hands, oh, yeah,
I give it to him. Don't worry about it.
Yes, sir.
How, God, now how are you going to fix this stuff?
Right. Don't worry about it.
You know, I've been to high school. I've been to this school and that school. I studied this. I can't figure it out. How you going to fix it? I talked to the pastor. I talked to them. They ain't come up with that. How you going to fix it? About how I'm going to fix it. I said, can you make the sun come up in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Can you put the moon out at night? Mm-hmm. How do you think that happened? Well, then stop worrying about it.
Amen.
Amen. I said, you worry about the wrong place. When God says he will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we won't have room to store.
Yes, sir.
We must never forget that God told us not to bring it all into the storehouse and store it. Let me say that one more time. God says, bring it in to the storehouse.
Yes, sir.
But don't just store it up in vaults and up in bank accounts and up in all of those things that is just drawing a little interest and not feeding the people. God says, I want you to bring it into the storehouse and use it to do the work that God calls us to do. I like the way that the prophet put it. Elijah said, you were told to give them the food, and you hesitated.
Right.
You didn't have faith, and you weren't being obedient, and you didn't show love to God and for the people.
Uh-huh.
So he said, now here's the situation. He said, did you hear what God said? Mm-hmm. God says, give it to them. And God says, they will eat and have some left over.
Amen.
Sometimes we fail to hear the full blessing that comes from God. God, do you want to give it to them? That struggle might be for us to give it. But God says, don't worry about in the giving. You give it. And they're going to have to eat it and have some left over.
Amen.
And sure enough, there was. He passed that around what he had. They not only ate, but they had some leftovers. And I want to say to us, don't forget to thank God for the leftovers. You know, you ate last night. Somebody had some leftovers.
Amen.
I bet I can open up some of the refrigerators and find some leftovers. I said, what did you eat last night? We had some spaghetti. I bet tonight, today, y'all say, come on home, and we ain't got much, we got some leftovers. Anybody thank God for the leftovers? Y'all understand what I'm talking about? It's God that was more than enough. So when we went to the table last night, we ate what we had, but there was some leftovers. See, we don't thank God for the leftovers.
Yes, sir.
That woman that had no more to eat, nothing more to eat, no more. But when the Bible says that she had some leftovers, there was more than enough in your blessings today.
Thank you.
After you eat your meal, and somebody says, clear the table and put the rest in the refrigerator. Again tonight or tomorrow. Thank God. Don't complain that I got to put a bowl and get all that stuff and scrape the pot and put the stuff in the refrigerator. Thank God for the leftovers. Now here's this one man, I can understand his dilemma. 20 loaves of bread, some apples, whatever it is. But what about the 100 men? When they saw this man come up there, here's 100 hungry men. Hungry men. And they saw this man come up there with this offering. Can you imagine what was going on with these 100 men? Can you imagine what they might have thought? What are you going to do with that? What are those going to do? I can get a whole loaf by myself. What are those going to do? Can you imagine what might have been going on in their mind when they saw the little provisions that were being brought? What do you think that they might have been thinking? This ain't much at all. Man, you might have kept that stuff. Why are you so cheesy to me? Ain't gonna be enough. I got to get up front because if we go to the scripture, let me get up to the front line so I get my. Can y'all imagine what I'm talking about? See, sometimes we got to see the situation and understand the complexity of what's going on because God is showing us. And here these folks, I imagine they thought, well, you know, they're not going to do much. That's not going to feed many. I can't believe that they brought this stuff and they think they're going to feed all of us. But I wonder what they did after they ate their fill and had leftovers. See, the story ends abruptly. I wonder if after it was over, did anybody say, God, thank you for the lesson? When you don't have all you think you need, when you're absolutely positive that you're going to come up short, some of us have been there. When you're sure that something or nobody is going to get what they need and I have to wait for the check to come because I got a bill that needs to be paid. And I pray over it. And when I'm done, not only did everybody get what they wanted to, maybe been 5 days late, but they got paid. Yeah. May have been 10 days late, but they got paid. I wonder if I thank God for the leftovers.
Mm.
All you can say, brothers and sisters, as I close, is thank God for the leftovers.
Amen.
You gave today. You put something. Some of you did. If you didn't, you had a desire to do it. That's all right. But did you thank God for the leftovers?
Amen.
And if you open up your wallet, the purse, would you find a nickel, dime, or a quarter still there in the purse that you can say, God, thank you for the
blessing.
I hope somebody says, thank God for what you're doing for me right now. Thank you for blessing me right now. Thank you for food on my table. Right now.
Thank you
that all the bills are paid.
Thank you, Lord.
Right now. Thank you that everybody in my house is satisfied.
Hallelujah.
Right now. Thank you that I have more than enough. Thank you, God, that I've got abundance of things. Because when I survey all of the goodness of the Lord, when I think about the goodness of the Lord, when I begin to realize that God has blessed me, when I begin to realize that when I got up this morning, I got up with an abundant blessing. How many of you are able to walk in to this place this morning? You'd be able to get up and say, thank you, God, for the leftovers. Because when I went to bed, my body was aching last night, but I was able to get up and walk. Thank you for the leftover blessing. Every day is a brand new day.
Amen.
And I get brand new mercies every day. Thank you,
thank
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For the leftovers. Yeah. You may stand. I pray that you've got a word from God. I know you got a word from God. I just pray that God, you will allow him to speak into your spirit and to cause you to realize that he is in the blessing business. That he is in control. God is in control.
Yes, he is.
I want you to just, for a minute, please, because of where we are right now, and the state of the economy, and the state of this world, and the state of our nation right now, I want every born-again believer, if you're born again, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, God is in control.
God is in control.
I want you to say it like you mean to tell us, God is in
control.
No matter where I am or what I'm doing, God is still what? In control. Tell the neighbor on the other side, God is?
God is.
Is in control. Come on and let everybody know that God is still on the throne. God is still in control. It don't matter what time we're done. I might have a little strife. I might have a little suffering. It don't matter, because this suffering today is not like the suffering that is for the warriors of God. God will bring us through. Because God is in control. He is in control. We love you, President. We love you, Senators. We love you, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, PC Party. We love you because God is in control. I don't hate nobody because my God is in control. Help me, God. God is, come on, help me, God. In control. God is. God is in control. God is in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is in control. You leave here today. Yeah, but God's in control. Not me.
Thank you, Lord.
He's in charge of this. And it's going to work out. By the way, all work together for them that love the Lord and who are called to his word. And his people are called to his word. His people are called to his word. Amen. God be the glory. Today we ask that you, if you're here, and you are here, and God has said to you, this is your day, day of salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, see, you receive Christ as Savior, and through life, he becomes your Lord. Because you remove yourself off the seat, and he sits there.
as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you're here, I'm opening the doors of the church. That if you'd like to come and receive membership in this body of Christ, if you'd like to become a part of our fellowship here, we invite you to come. We'd love for you to come and be a part of the body of Jesus Christ so that you might be covered by a church who can pray for you and sustain you. If you're here, won't you come this morning? If you're here, you can come from Christian experience, come as a candidate for baptism, doesn't matter. You come, make your request before the Lord. Won't you come? The Spirit of God has spoken this morning. He's touched your heart, he's touched your spirit, he's touched your mind. And now it's up to you. If you're here, the invitation. We're not begging, we're just asking in the name of Jesus that you will make a decision.
Everybody, I just wanted to give y'all that. Hope you enjoyed it, because I enjoyed it when I heard it. Just go back and re-listen to it, because you're not going to get it the first time. I'm just saying, unless you're in the spirit, you may get it the first time. Make sure we fast and we pray. We should be doing a fast and a prayer right now. But this upcoming month, we should do one, because Lord knows we don't need another sequester. Lord knows we don't need another government shutdown. So many people were affected by that, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the thing that I keep trying to tell everyone, because when the middle class goes and there's hardly a few jobs, you see, let me break this down for you. When you've got anarchy, right, when you have martial law, two different words, when you have anarchy, that means there's no government, there's no control, there's nothing. Martial law is controlled by the government or by a state or by someone, okay? And what I'm saying is this. Either martial law is going to happen or anarchy is going to happen. It's going to happen regardless. I mean, it will happen. Maybe not in our lifetime, but it will happen, ladies and gentlemen. And when we start talking about jobs, and we start talking about the mark of the beast, you have to understand, look, they've already got the food system already set up where it's all genetically altered, right? Who controls that food? the government. How do we know that? Because Monsanto's passed that bill, right? So if they decided not to, if they decided to put another gene-altering thing in there to kill off people, how would we know? We don't know that. We won't know at all. Not until people start dying, and then investigators start finding out. But after that point, the population, half the population of the world will already be dead. We don't know that, right? Second thing, they control the money flow. As you can see, when the government shut down, people was unemployed. They control the money flow, ladies and gentlemen. And what people were upset with the Democrats and the Republicans and the government, listen, that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. That is the devil. The devil is working double time, ladies and gentlemen. Devil working double time. So now that we know they can control the food, they control the water, we already know that, and they control the air that we breathe, and they also control jobs. Ladies and gentlemen, when the mark of the beast comes, we won't be able to, we as Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, will not be able to worship freely. Will not be able to read the Bible and mention the name of Jesus freely. Will not. So what happens when you are vetted and says either you're going to get the mark of the beast or you're going to starve, you and your family? Go to the devil to feed your family and go straight to hell, or reject that, save your food, store up your food, store up your water, store up your batteries, store up all the necessities, find a trench, dig in deep. Just like the Matrix, y'all, just like the Matrix. I'm telling you, go back and listen to my Matrix series, listen to it, and y'all think I'm crazy. I don't want y'all thinking crazy, but right now, I'm giving you examples right now. Pastor Bailey talked about giving in faith. She only had enough for her child and her for one more meal. Other than that, they're going to die. But she chose to do the right thing, and God blessed her. Ladies and gentlemen, all I'm asking you to do is at least save 6 months worth of food, 6 months worth of toothpaste, 6 months worth of soap, six months worth of toilet tissue. Anything that you need that you feel is valuable in your everyday life, because when that stuff comes, ladies and gentlemen, because it will come. You see what happened with that sequestration, the government shutdown? That was just only the beginning. And guess who was getting paid? The financial institutions. Okay, so my next point is this. The control of human beings. This is where the anarchy comes in, and this is where martial law kicks in, ladies and gentlemen. This is the scary part for me. Look at Neighborhood Watch and what Neighborhood Watch is designed to do. Okay. Then I want you to look at jobs. If your job is to control the masses, which is the police, the EMTs are the firefighters, right? Because they all have control over who gets picked up to go to the emergency room, where they're gonna go. They have all these choices and whatnot. They also have the fire department. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have the mark of the beast and you need a job, you're gonna pick whatever job, because we're so used to working. We're so used to having money in our pockets. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the fall of Rome, the fall of the Persian Empire. Listen, the Persian Empire was the largest empire in the world. Fail. Rome, fail. Don't you know those people towards the end were starving? They started in the beginning with, but it was even worse because they were used to being in control. See, the poor was already poor. It was those who were in the middle class, those who were being ruled, you see, that we don't have those times where a king and a queen will come in and reign and then get invaded and then be turned into slaves. See, we don't have that. But what you have is a modern-day controlling system of the masses, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't think they control you, go to Walmart right now. I bet you stuff for Christmas out right now. We're in October. Why? Because they're prepping your brain to say, oh, you know what? Christmas is coming. They're prepping your brain because Thanksgiving is coming. They're prepping your brain because Halloween is coming. If you want to partake in that, that is fine. I'm not saying anything about any of those things. Those are my personal choices I will not participate in. But what I am saying is they are controlling the way that you think. They are controlling the way that you eat. They are controlling the way that you raise your children. And if you don't believe it, I tell you, just go into the store. They have already prepped your child to get their Christmas list ready. They've already prepped you to say, hey, I got to start saving for Christmas. I've got to start to, but when Christmas is coming and gone, and your child's already broke the toy that you spent $300 on, you say, well, it doesn't matter. It was the point that I got it from. Okay, all right. But that's $300 you could have been using for water, food, batteries, light, flashlights, first aid kits, alcohol, surgical kits. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make this plain to you because it's coming, okay? And I'm not one of those theologians or those Bible thumpers saying, oh, Lord, the end of the world is coming. No, I'm simply saying if you know the enemy's plan, and you don't prepare for it, then what are you doing? Because you know, hey, I got to save for a rainy day. Everybody uses that word. I got to save for a rainy day. Or I got to put savings away. What are you saving for? For a trip? Okay. What are you putting your money? What are you retiring to do? Because if you listen, the people who were supposed to retire in Detroit, they ain't got no money now, right now. They're scrambling trying to get these people who were supposed to retire their trust funds. They are not getting anything right now. So my point is this, ladies and gentlemen. Go in, read your Bible. Read it to gain knowledge. If you don't know, please ask your pastor. If you don't have a pastor, ask somebody who knows the Bible. Have a discussion with your children. You see, it's time for us as a new generation of children of God to talk to our children about the Lord and Savior because, listen, it's going to be their generation that's going to face these hardships. And if you think they have problems with desensitizing themselves by shooting and killing now, why do you think that is? Because, listen, ladies and gentlemen, when the beast comes, he's going to need people to have cold hearts. He's going to need people who don't believe in Jesus. Because if you don't believe in Jesus, more than likely your morals will come from what you say is the golden rule or I'm just a good person. Well, if you don't have Jesus back in you, you don't have the Spirit. Once we talked about how to be saved, how to be saved, and how salvation works, listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be tough for your children. It will be tough for your children. They're going to have to make those decisions. Should I take care of my mother? Should I take care of my father? Oh, forget those old people. Because why? We don't have respect for the elderly. So we need to gain respect for the elderly now. We need to gain respect for the children and the youth because they are so important. Because the older you get, the more wiser you get. And what do they want us to do? They want to kill off the older people because the wisdom that they have through the Lord, is being choked, is being bottlenecked. The wisdom of the children is being bottlenecked because they're being put on drugs early because they have Alzheimer's. They have Tourette's. They have Asperger's. They have I'm thinking of one specific word, but I can't think of it right now. They have all these, you know, Down syndrome. They have all these different diseases syndromes that causes these children. And I love special needs kids. So I'm sitting here and think I'm just pointing this out. I'm talking about people who have learning disorders. I'm talking about children who have ADHD or HDHD or what, you know, high deficit disorder and all this stuff. Listen, these things are real. These things have been already, our children have already became feminized. Now you say, well, how can God make, there's a lot of people out there who believe that they were born to be homosexual. Well, you can say that, yes, they were born to be homosexual because we know that they are putting stuff in our foods to hormonally change specifically the gender or the hormones inside our bodies, whether that's ethnically or economically. We know this for a fact. Scientists have proven this. And so, yes, you're born that way. Some people still don't believe that. But with the technology that we have now, anything is possible, ladies and gentlemen. If they're cloning sheep, if they're cloning mice, if they're cloning horses, if they're cloning dogs, if they're cloning cats, ladies and gentlemen, don't you think they've already cloned humans? Don't you know that's the next step? But no, you won't believe that. No, you won't believe that at all. You know why? Because it doesn't affect you as a person. It's not personal. It's not until they mess with your family. It's not until they mess with your wallet. It's not until they mess with your everyday living that makes you mad and angry. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, if you do not have Jesus in your life, and if you don't want Jesus in your life, that is up to you. I am not going to sit here and judge you and say, hey, I'm not going to be your friend, because, listen, that's not a Christian way. I'm not going to judge nobody right now, ever, because that's not what Christ is. So what I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is that we must love, we must understand the plan of Satan. Let me play this, man. It's called The Great Deception. I'm going to play it for you.
They had three major policies that were going to be followed. First, Lucifer said, we have to make sure that people, humans, get to believe that Satan and his angels do not really exist.
You know, Roger, that's interesting, because a recent research study report that I read indicated that in a national survey, I believe it's over 75% of people do not really believe in a real tangible devil. Mm-hmm. But there is one.
Oh, yeah. The next thing, the three-part policy that they had adopted there, the second one was to find a way of being able to get total control of people's minds. And that would be done by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introduce it as a new science for the benefit of mankind. They felt that by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introducing it as a new science for the benefit of mankind, they could then use people of great renown, educators, people of capacity, that would do great things, such as supposedly regress people in time to former lives. And, of course, after the session is over, the person would not know a thing about ancient history. And the person she or he is talking about performing, you know, certain deeds, let's say, 3,000-4,000 years ago. But this was their strategy. Now, what this would do for the thing is this. That it would create in the minds of the general public, solidly set in the mind of the general public, an unwavering trust in that great deception. So now this would be a way of de-Christianizing the Western world through the avenue of mysticism.
The three things were, number one, that they did not want Satan did not want the human family to think that he or his angels existed.
Right.
The second point that you made had to do with taking control of people's minds.
That's right.
The third point was what?
Was to destroy the Bible without burning it.
Okay.
See.
And what was the strategy on that?
On that, it was very interesting. Because after the Great General Council, it was decided that Satan would tutor Charles Darwin personally in setting up the principles of his theories of evolution. He was tutored by Lucifer himself, Fallen Lucifer. And at that time, it was understood, Satan and his spirit counselors understood, that if a person was led to believe in the theory of evolution, it would, in his life, destroy completely the creation week of the Bible, the fall of man, and final redemption. It would do away with it. Anyone that teaches a theory of evolution is considered to be a minister of a great religious system. And he said that every teacher of that theory is recognized by the spirit as a person of great value and receives a very special unction from Satan himself, giving great power to induce spiritual blindness, to convince and convert. Three capacities. People are going to eat the stuff, because it says spirits, demon spirits, will declare themselves to be inhabitants of far distant planets in the galaxies that are coming to warn the inhabitants of planet Earth of the impending destruction of the planet unless something seriously proper is done to avoid it.